But we have to start tonight as advertised with them. I know nobody wants to, but it is the Monday evening quarterback to talk about yesterday's Chicago Bears game. This is a segment we came up with, Adam Hogue and I, to really kind of dive deep to get past just the talking heads. And, you know, it's obviously from the minute the game is over till now, people are dissecting what happened. But we really want to get into it. And unfortunately, that means we have to unpack a lot tonight as the Bears looked horrific, historically horrific yesterday at home, losing in a blowout to the New Orleans Saints. They're only 3-3, but you would think that at this point they're never going to win again. Looking into the future, I'm going to ask Annalee Newitz if she can look into, as a futurist, if she can look into her crystal ball and see if the Bears will ever win again. Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGNRadio.com, and you can get all that at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Adam, I don't even know where to start. Just a terrible performance around. Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah, I really didn't, Justin. I thought that, first of all, I said, you know, throughout the bye week that I thought we'd really learn a lot about Matt Nagy as a coach and about this team and the way that they could bounce back. And as recently as about an hour before the game, I was on WGN Radio with Hamp and OB and Mark Harmon saying, you know, this is an absolute must-win game. Just given this landscape of the NFC right now and how tough it is, how many good teams there are, and how you can't fall that far behind the Packers, who are now 6-1, you absolutely had to win this game. So what we saw was a colossal failure because they didn't really show, you know, a whole lot coming out of the bye in a must-win game, and it starts to put doubt in Matt Nagy's ability to rally this team coming off a bad loss to the Raiders throughout a bye week, and it even more so to me brings more doubt into, you know, his offensive coaching ability. And that's, we're just at a very surprising point, Justin, because I never would have thought that going back to the summer when we first, you know, started talking this year, that we'd be looking at a situation after week 7 in which Mitchell Trubisky might actually be a bust. You know, I thought the floor was somewhere in the middle. And I thought the floor for this offense was somewhere in the middle. I never thought they would be leading the league in points or Trubisky would be in the MVP conversation or anything like that. But I thought they would take a step forward. And if they didn't, they'd at least be where they were last year. Yeah. This right now is a disaster.
And you could see through some of the stats, and we'll talk about it tonight, how that can be. One of the stats that was thrown out during the broadcast was just that this is the 6th straight week for the Bears where they had not amassed 300 yards per offense per game. Which is nuts if you think about it in the NFL, because even bad teams can rack up 300 yards.
Yeah.
To not have that, I mean, to think, I mean, this is historically bad. I mean, we're not talking about just this game. And there, you can go down to how many attempts, how many yards, yards per play, overall offense, third down. Everything about it was historically bad. As a Bears fan, I don't even know how to process it without going to doom and gloom and thinking we have to start over.
Well, and a lot of this, as much as I'm going to try over this next hour, is unexplainable because you have this offensive mind and Matt Nagy who, across the league, I mean, it's not like it was false. It's not like everyone was lying. Everyone loves this guy as an offensive mind. And the results last year were very positive. So you have that guy leading the charge. You have, in my opinion, still good enough weapons around this offense and an offensive line that certainly isn't the worst I've ever seen. I just can't figure out why they're not hitting on some of these running plays. A lot of this does not make sense.
When you see, when you go back and you start looking at game tape, and it doesn't necessarily have to just be this game, and all because the running game has been putrid through the entire first 6 games of this season. What's missing? Is it the offensive line not getting their blocks? Nagy went into this press conference today talking about he was disappointed on the first running play that they missed a block and they were working on that play the whole year or the whole bye week and they're ready to go and they missed the block. Is that what's happening here? Are running backs picking the wrong lanes? Why are every time a Bear running back touches the ball, it's a yard gain?
No, and here's the thing. I mean, I don't have access to the coach's film until tomorrow, unfortunately. I've gone back and watched the TV copy. And that first run, he's right. I mean, they had it blocked, except one offensive lineman needed to get to the second level to get on the defensive back that came in and ended up making the tackle. I think it was Cody Whitehair who failed to do that, but I need to see the end zone angle, which I have not seen yet to confirm that. Whatever it is, someone failed to get to the second level and block that guy. And if they had, that could have been a very good running play on the first play of the game. Now, that being said, I still have an issue with the personnel on the field because Tariq Cohen is not your in-between-the-tackles running back.
Exactly, exactly.
And why isn't David Montgomery out there? And this is another one of these things that is just really hard to explain right now.
Yeah.
They talk this guy up like he was the second coming of Walter Payton. And do you remember that first preseason game this year?
Mm-hmm.
And how good David Montgomery was? And Matt Nagy himself stood there at the press conference after that game. After that, I believe it was against the Panthers. Sometimes you forget who they're playing in the preseason because it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but
right.
That first preseason game this year, he looked at Jared Payton. And not everyone saw this, but I relayed the story afterwards. But he looked at Jared Payton, who was standing there in the room, and kind of laughed as he started to begin a sentence where Walter Payton was coming into his brain as he was describing what David Montgomery looked like to him.
Hmm.
Now we're in week 7, and this guy got 2 carries.
For 6 yards and a fumble.
These are the things that are just baffling right now.
Adam Hoag's on the line, 312-981-7200. We want to get your phone calls, your texts. If you have a theory on why the Bears were that bad, I'd love to hear it. Adam is, of course, the man who covers the Bears. He's our Bears insider here at WGN Radio, wgnradio.com/Bears for all of it. We'll take our first break. We'll come back, and I guess we'll talk offense and get into the game. So we unpack yesterday's loss. It's the Monday evening quarterback here on Extension 720. Justin Kaufman with Adam Hoag, our Bears insider, wgnradio.com/Bears. Let's get right to the calls. Steven's on the line. Steven, before we move on from the running game, you have the same thoughts we do.
Yes, good evening. First time caller. Thanks for taking my call. I don't want to sound harsh, but I really think Nagy has reached a crossroad in his career as a head coach. I'm not advocating him to be fired, but I think he has really lost a lot of credibility with his comments today, yesterday, and his lack of commitment to the running.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all for giving him an opportunity.
Yeah. But,
I mean, he needs to stop making empty rhetorics about how he has to run the ball more and then come up with another insane excuses of only running the ball 7 times, which is so ironic in the Walter Payton bobblehead day, which is basically the big F you from that. And then I think he needs to run the ball more, and he has more of the choice. If he has to let Childress, you know, give more input, you know, so be it.
Yeah. Well,
I want to see him do that before I say, okay, Trubisky's fault. Let's give Nagy another chance.
That's a good point. Thanks, Steven, for that. That's a great point. I echoes the sentiment as well as somebody on text saying about the offensive line. And there's a lot of blame to go around here, but Matt Nagy seems like defenses have caught up to this offensive genius. And I hate to say this because I echo what Steven's saying. Seems like he's getting out coached a lot.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Matt Nagy, the head coach, and put aside the offense for a second. I mean, let's not forget he's 15-8. I mean, he's way ahead of the game compared to, you know, the last two head coaches that were here. And let's not completely lose sight of that. Now, that being said, I do think the Packers game reflects poorly on him. I don't know that I'm willing to put the Raiders game completely on him, but this one, certainly out of a bye off a bad loss, reflects poorly on him as well. So that is 2 of the games this year, 2 of the 3 losses. And I'll just say this. I mean, a lot of people have, I think, reacted, and this happens on Mondays after bad losses, but have started to reach a little bit in comparing this to Mark Trestman's second season when things looked promising in year 1 and then came off the rails in year 2. I'm not willing to go there. I think there's a lot of differences both in the makeup of that locker room compared to this locker room, the talent that's on the field, specifically how bad that defense was.
No Brandon Marshall.
And Mark Trestman's just inability to connect with his players, and that actually started year 1. We just didn't really see it completely until they started.
But Adam, let me echo Steven's point on 7 carries, because we can go into we already talked running game. But what that also means is that Mitch Trubisky, coming off of a shoulder injury where on Wednesday and Thursday he was questionable, threw the ball 54 times. That's the most in his Matt Nagy career. He didn't throw close to 50. I think he had 150 pass game. We looked it up. Pete and I looked it up. 50 attempts against the Patriots last year. Nothing even remotely close to that. This year, this is his second 40-plus. What's happening in the sense that he believes Mitch Trubisky is going to somehow work his way out of a funk by throwing 54 times?
Well, I just think he's completely fed up with the running game. And that gets back to what we were talking about earlier. Whose fault is it? To me, it's a collective failure. And I'll bring up something that Matt Nagy brought up today. So the pitch backwards to Anthony Miller on that sweep in which he fumbled the ball, crucial play in the first quarter. So he got asked about that play today. And he said, go look up the first play of the game against the Buffalo Bills last year and come back to me. So right there in the middle of the press conference, I did this because I have access to this, and the first play of the game was the exact same play they ran yesterday with Anthony Miller. A couple differences. There was one schematic thing. I won't break it down, you know, completely, but Allen Robinson was the guy on the right side, the blocking wide receiver, and instead of blocking, he took his man deep with a passing route, which I'm sure was by design, not a mistake. But the crucial point to me is the difference between what happened last year, which, by the way, was a gain of 9 on first down, compared to this, which was basically a gain of nothing and a fumble. On this one, you had 3 guys blocking 1 player.
Yeah.
And nobody blocking the guy on the outside, which I think was Trey Burton's responsibility. Okay? Last year, they didn't even need to make all their blocks because there was so much space and room to run, and there was a key block by Taylor Gabriel on the play. So the point I'm getting at is just whether it's the offensive line or it's the tight ends like Trey Burton or it's the wide receivers on the outside, across the board in the running game, they're just not all doing their job on the same play to get big gain.
And I want to get to Mitch Trubisky, and we'll probably do that on the second half with your defense and Mitch Trubisky here. But, you know, we're also seeing just – there's just – I don't know if it's him and his reads, if it's the offensive scheme, if it's the defensive coordinators catching up to Matt Nagy. But even the 2-yard gains are well contested. I mean, the Bears are not playing this offense in space in any form. I mean, it's unreal to see. I've never seen this stat line. It's a historic record. The 9 catches for 19 yards for Tariq Cohen. 9 catches for 19 yards. And those are all because he's contested out of the backfield. So is the quarterback making the wrong read? Are they picking up with where we used to have space last year? What's happening there?
Yeah, I've never heard of a wide receiver. Well, I guess he's a running back, whatever. I've never heard of a receiver, somebody catching the ball, averaging 2.1 yards on 9 catches. I mean, that's just insane. And you look at it, like, here's a drive, 11 plays, 39 yards.
Jeez.
11 plays, 39 yards. I mean, that's to your point, in that they're just, like, kind of spinning through mud right now as they're trying to move down the field. There's no chunk plays. This is something I want to get to, and I think I'm going to write about this week. But it doesn't seem like, you remember Swaggy Nagy? Remember how his players were calling him that?
Yeah.
It just seems like Matt Nagy has lost his swagger. I think we're seeing none of those trick plays. We're seeing not a whole lot of creativity. We're seeing the same stuff over and over again. But part of, and I think it's, you know, affecting some of his head coaching too. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's having as much fun as he did last year, which brings me to the quarterback. It's hard to run all this stuff when you can't trust your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And to me, Mitchell Trubisky has lost his confidence, and he does not look like he's having any fun out there either. So to me, those are big things that aren't necessarily tangible. They're just sort of this emotional part of the game of football where it seems like Matt Nagy has lost his swagger and Trubisky has lost his confidence, and it is dragging down this offense on top of all the actual physical mistakes that are being made out there on the field.
Well, 1 minute before we break, but you know, it also feels like, you know, Mitch Trubisky was inaccurate last year. There were a lot of times he was throwing ball into double coverage and getting lucky it wasn't picked off. That hasn't changed. So if that hasn't changed, meaning he's still throwing bad passes on third down and he's missing the plays, but now we have no running game, the offensive line is crap, everything across the board is not coming together, it's much more obvious. I mean, last year, Trubisky wasn't that great.
No, he wasn't, and he's had a lot of these same problems. But there was still a sense of confidence, I think, that there were moments where if he was confident in what he was seeing, he was making the throws. This year, there's just no confidence across the boards. He's not seeing the field well at all. You know, and even when he is, like that throw to Taylor Gabriel was just a bad throw, bad mechanics, and we can go through a couple of his other mistakes here in the second half of the show.
Yeah. Adam Hogue joins us every Monday to talk Bears, and usually we were hoping for victories, but this one loss, the blowout to the Saints yesterday at Soldier Field. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and we're going all the way to 9 o'clock tonight. You can find all Adam's great work at his Twitter account, at Adam Hogue, or you can find him on the WGN website at WGNradio.com/Bears. More to come. We'll talk about not only Mitch Trubisky, but the Bears' defense. And like I said, I got blown out of Twitter. Twitter hated me last week when I said, did the Raiders provide a blueprint on how to beat the Bears' D? Well, it sure looked like Sean Payton might have watched that tape because they did the same exact thing. That all coming up next in the second half of the Monday Evening Quarterback. We'll continue with the Monday Evening Quarterback right after David's news. We're not going to talk about, we won't have time to talk about the Nike commercial that showed the Billy Goat and how Chicago is, but it showed a hot dog being served at the Billy Goat, which automatically for everybody in Chicago is like, false, wrong, inauthentic, bye. Way to go, Nike.
The no ketchup didn't help?
No, not a fan, not a fan of the commercial. Anyway.
We're tired of being Chicago. We're tired of being Chicago. Bears Blue.
And indeed, the Chicago Bears Blues here. The Monday Evening Quarterback, Adam Hogue, with me. Find all his stuff on Twitter, Adam Hogue, or WGNradio.com/Bears. All right, let's get into the second half. Mitch Trubisky, most of the texts are about Mitch Trubisky, and the hashtag trending is Trubisky stinks, and everybody wants us to trade for any quarterback that would possibly be able to throw more than 5-10 yards. Jay Cutler is getting a lot of love. There's a lot going on. Are we at the end of the Trubisky era already? I mean, has Chicago given up on this kid?
Well, Chicago might have. I don't. Here's the problem, though. I don't know of any possible solution other than ride this out for this season. I think at a minimum, what you if this continues, assuming there's no dramatic turn the rest of the season, and there are still 10 games left, let's not forget that. But if this continues the rest of the season, I think that you, at a minimum, it would be irresponsible not to bring in serious competition in the offseason, whether that's a veteran or a draft pick. The Bears will have a couple second-round picks. Maybe they can use that to move up, or maybe they can just find somebody in the second round. I don't know. But they need to at least bring in competition next year, and then they got to make a decision in the offseason about Mitch Trubisky's fifth-year option, which you can make a compelling case right now that they shouldn't pick up. Yeah. Now, are there any options at all that they could explore right now if they really believe, like, hey, this is our Super Bowl window, we have to go after this? And here's a tough thing. Here's the only one I would even begin to start considering, and that's Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. Because a couple reasons, and I'm not necessarily of any belief that he's going to come in here and save the day, but he did play with Mark Helfrich, the Bears offense coordinator at Oregon, and they had a ton of success together. So
he knows the scheme, right?
Well, I don't know if he necessarily knows this offense, because this is more Matt Nagy's offense, but he knows the concepts, and there's maybe some kind of chemistry there that could work. That being said, and it was also an option because Tennessee has benched him, and he's in his fifth year. He's going to be a free agent this offseason. So they're basically going to just ride this out with him on the bench, let him go, and get a compensatory pick for 2021. By doing that, not only exactly know where that pick's going to fall, but if they were to trade him, they would get that draft pick next year, not have to wait till 2021. So it would move up the pick a year. However, he still carries like a $20 million cap hit right now, and the Bears only have like $18 million in cap space to work with. So they'd have to finagle the books. That's another reason why I'm not really saying this is a realistic option. It's just if we're going to start to talk about this, that's the only one I would even start to consider.
Let me ask you this, though. You know, Pete and I were really going deep on the stats, the Pro Football Reference and all these kind of things. And when you look at Mitch Trubisky, one thing that stands out that nobody seems to be talking about is dude's not running the ball. Yeah. And, you know, he had zero attempts yesterday. And maybe that's an injury, but when you look back to last year, there's a couple of times where he was over 80 yards rushing. He was 10 attempts. And if there's such a porous offensive line and the guys are not open, it seems like that would lend it would lend to the theory that he would be taken off more. And I don't understand what happened here that he's not running the ball this year. Is that a Matt Nagy thing? Is that a Mitch Trubisky decided to be a pocket passer? They're not rolling him out. They're not running him. All the things that you and I have talked about him being his strength, they're not using.
But here's part of the problem. If you don't have a running threat, you're not bringing extra guys into the box, and they're not necessarily blitzing him like crazy. The defense, for the most part, is sitting back in the coverage. That doesn't leave a whole lot of space to run. I mean, if you think about Mitch Trubisky's biggest runs last year, they were when he was under pressure, was able to elude, maybe break contain on the outside, and all of a sudden he had 20 yards of open space in front of him, and he has the speed and athleticism to take advantage of that. This year, I mean, let's be honest, whenever he's had possible opportunities to run, there hasn't been a whole lot of yardage in front of him because the defenses are just sitting back. So I think that's part of it. I think coordinators are also realizing that he's much more dangerous as a runner than a passer, so they're scheming against that. They're taking it away. Again, though, Matt Nagy, it's just the same thing with the running game. You get paid to figure out ways to run the ball more than seven times per game, even if it's not working. You get paid to work to Mitch Trubisky's strengths, and if that's running the ball and getting the ball in his hands, and you got to figure out ways to do that. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, isn't it like five rushes this year?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nothing.
It's insane when you consider, like, last year, week seven against the Patriots, Bill Belichick spent that entire week talking about how dangerous Mitch Trubisky was, and part of the reason why he had a good game that day was because he was running all over the place.
Yeah, he had 10 carries. And I get it. You watch Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not saying that they're anywhere near each other when it comes to their... And maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the running game. They respect the Packer running game. But rarely is Rodgers going one step, throw. He's taken off, and he's taken off not to run, but he's dancing around. He's getting out of the pocket. He's audibling. He's finding ways to get his receivers open. I don't see that from Mitch Trubisky. When this play... I mean, he has... Yesterday, specifically, the Saints were like, this must be the slowest quarterback in history. They were ringing him up before he hiked the ball. I don't understand. It seems somewhere along the line, maybe, like you said, he lost his confidence. But he is not showing that swagger of trying to extend the play, which I thought was his thing.
Well, it is his thing, but here's the problem. I mean, when you're not seeing the field at all, you're kind of lost out there. And look, earlier we talked about the third and five miss and overthrow he had to Taylor Gabriel, which, you know, I don't care if you're Tom Brady or Chase Daniel.
Yeah, make that play.
Any backup in the league even makes that play. So that's just an inexcusable miss. And then Matt Nagy comes to the press conference today, and he actually says he brought that up as one of the two, you know, big blunders that Mitch had yesterday. But the other one he brought up, he said was even worse, was they're at the New Orleans 24-yard line, and they're getting close to the red zone. It's first and 10. They call an RPO, and instead of handing it off to David Montgomery, he pulls the ball back, looks to his left for a quick throw that just isn't there. And part of that play left Cam Jordan unblocked, which sounds crazy, but that was part of the scheme on the play to kind of take him away from the run.
Just a bad read by him.
Exactly. Trubisky missed the read. And the RPOs are in there because they're some of the easiest reads for him, stuff that he was good at last year. So when he's screwing that up, and that, by the way, was a sack and a loss of 8, and so instead of first and it looked like the run was open, so it may have even been bigger than 5-6 yards, but instead of like second and short, you're all of a sudden backed up in the first and 18. You're lucky to get a field goal out of that situation. Thankfully, of all things, the Bears have a good kicker.
Yeah, what's Josh McCown doing? Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the defense because there's lots to talk about. Of course, now defenses have figured, or offensive coordinators have figured out that the offense or the defensive line for the Bears is beatable. And it's 2 weeks in a row now. Before the bye week and the Raiders, we were surprised to see how smash mouth football they kind of pushed our defensive line back, our vaunted Pro Bowl defensive line. They did it again yesterday, and you could say all you want about the first half. It was trending in the direction that Latavius Murray, is a journeyman backup running back who's got some skills, I guess. But I mean, he was falling forward at 4, 5, 6 yards a clip, even when they were supposedly having a good game against him in the first half.
Yeah, they were. I'm still struggling today to get too upset about the defense. I'll tell you where. where I finally started. Here's the one drive where I thought was a little inexcusable that I'm not going to make any excuses for them was the first drive of the second half. Because you can't blame that on being tired. You just had halftime to rest, okay? And the Saints come out 6 plays, 75 yards. I mean, they go right down the field. You know, the other drives earlier in the game, like 12 plays for 52 yards. I mean, that's not that's not giving up big plays there. That's an okay. I mean, you don't like to see 12-play drives, but it's not like they were giving much up and they did give a field goal. So in the first half, the only touchdown the defense allowed was – off the turnover, off the Anthony Miller fumble. So I really am struggling to have much of a problem there. But when they come out in the second half and they give up a drive like that, I do have a problem with that. Now, from that point on, I think they did get tired. I think there is excuses because the offense can't get off, or, you know, they can't sustain a drive at all. And when you're getting doubled up in plays by the New Orleans Saints, you're going to eventually leak and give up points.
Okay, let me ask you this, because there's a play in that drive where the Bears get off the field, where Teddy Bridgewater is scrambling on a third down, and Khalil Mack got him from behind, and they barely got the spot, and we didn't have the guts to challenge it. But there's a play where Roquan Smith came up there, and he's dancing, he's not sure what to do, as opposed to last year where we saw, and what he was drafted to do, which was like a missile, to come in there like there was no question. What's going on with Roquan Smith? Because, again, his number was not called all game long.
That was not the only time that happened. And to further your point on that specific play, Khalil Mack was coming from behind. And honestly, you know, I think you can even have beef with Mack on a couple plays where he was trying to go after the ball from behind and didn't quite make the tackle when he could have. That being said, Roquan Smith on this particular play you're talking about was coming up, and if he's going full speed, would have met the runner 2 or 3 yards short of the first down marker. Now, he could have potentially been pushed backwards, whatever, but that's where the contact should have been made. And instead, he got to the first down marker, that yard line, and stopped his feet.
Yeah,
and actually moved a yard backwards at that point. That is not good tackling. I mean, that is not the Roquan Smith that we saw on tape at Georgia when the Bears drafted him in the first round as a top 8 pick. And what we saw last year, a guy with high instincts, a guy who plays at full speed, who comes in and seeks out contact. I can't tell you what's going on with Roquan Smith right now, but he is not the same guy that we saw last year. That's not the only play that happened. I noticed that on 2 specific plays, and that's on the TV copy, not even the tape that shows the end zone angle that exposes a lot of that kind of stuff that happens during the game. And it is very alarming. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I don't know, because you expect big things from him because he had such a great, amazing rookie season, and that's how the middle linebacker is supposed to play. I mean, we saw Nick Kwiatkowski in the Vikings game play that way. That was the idea that we want from our middle linebacker, a kind of downhill run towards the play. So it was very alarming to see him. And you're right. You're going to look at the tape, and there are a lot of times where the Saints are easily picking up 3 or 4 yards where a linebacker should be.
And by the way, Roquan Smith was being taken off the field a lot on third down yesterday. I don't know if people noticed that. He only played 69% of the snaps.
Ooh.
That is not what you want to see from a guy you drafted in the first round last year.
Adam Hogue, our Bears insider, here on Monday Evening Quarterback, 312-981-7200. We'll wrap up. I want to go over some of the players. When we come back, some of the players, we'll do some word association and what you think of their performances yesterday and so far this season. It's the Monday Evening Quarterback here on 720 WGN. Monday Evening Quarterback here on 720 WGN. Adam Hogue with me. We were talking about the Bears yesterday and what we need to improve the whole thing before next week against the Chargers at Soldier Field. Before I get to the players we need to talk about, defensively, I saw coverage in which, you know, this is a point I have, and maybe Sean Payton's just a better coach, but I saw when the Bears, Mitch Trubisky tries to throw a check down, it's covered. Or the tight end or the running back gets a 2 yard gain. It seemed yesterday Teddy Bridgewater was able to check down or was able to outmaneuver the linebackers of the Bears, not unlike the Patriots did last year on this Bears defense. What is that about the Bears defense? Are they having scheme issues?
Well, I don't think that Chuck Pagano's had the best 2 weeks. And look, there were guys that covered the New Orleans Saints yesterday that said that this is the best game they've ever seen Sean Payton coach. So, you know, we always tend to look at things through, you know, kind of a one-sided angle from the Bears' side. I also think that the Saints put together a really impressive game plan when you consider they didn't have Drew Brees, they didn't have Alvin Kamara.
So they got up for this game, this big game in the conference on the road. They were ready and excited for it.
Well, and like, and this gets like, back to what I was saying earlier, like the whole Swaggy Nagy thing and how that seems to be gone. That play Sean Payton called where they handed off to the fullback and then he's running an option?
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, that's
never works in the NFL and it works on us.
That was an incredible play call and in design and execution. It was great. So, look, I do have a little bit of a beef with how the Bears wide receivers have been playing off of guys. I think they came up a little bit closer yesterday. Michael Thomas is a really good wide receiver. So, you know, Kyle Fuller is not going to stop him the entire game. And, you know, there were a couple throws to the end zone in the second quarter that could have been touchdowns, but Buster Screen knocked one away and Prince Amukamara knocked one away. So it's not like they weren't making plays the whole game. But I will say, the takeaways, invisible. You know, and Eddie Jackson is not getting his hands on the football anymore. I think that's another guy. Mm. Maybe we're going to get. Maybe that was one of the guys you were going to bring up here.
Yeah, right.
As we talk, I'll take about him off the list.
Right. All right, let's get into that. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Leonard Floyd, where are we at with him? Because the thought was Mac's going to get triple covered. Floyd's going to have access to the quarterback. He's since the first week he has not shown up at all.
See, and I actually thought he had a good first 3 weeks. Obviously, the first week was when he had the big game with the numbers, and but the last 3 weeks have not been good. He's been invisible. And the numbers, to your point, haven't been there since week one against the Packers. It's not good enough, and he's owed a lot of money next year because they picked up his fifth-year option. And I just, at this point, he's not worth that. And when you got all these different guys to pay, I don't think that money's guaranteed, and I think this dude has a lot of – he's got a lot to play for the rest of the season. He needs to step up his game.
All right, let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Trey Burton.
Yeah, that word invisible comes up again. That drop he had, which would have been a first down, you know, Mitch finally puts a ball right on a receiver's hands, and he just drops it. It absolutely cannot happen. I don't, and it's a first comment in my as I look at my Twitter feed right now. What's up with Trey Burton? He's not the same guy. I don't. You know, it's growing. He's obviously not 100%. But when the ball's in your hands, you can't drop it. So it gets back to the lack of focus across the board.
And it seemed to be a target last year for Mitch. And this year, I don't know. It's like when he gets the ball, it's a one-yard gain. Or maybe he does that three-yard stick where he turns around and catches it and he's down. And there's nothing.
Yeah. I think that game against the Patriots last year was one of the games where he went over 100 yards and had a monster performance. He's just not the same guy. And it just... Man, it's just a common theme across the board with this offense.
Yeah, and then I'd ask Anthony Miller.
Yeah,
where are we at with this guy? I'm not sure what to make of him. He's pounding the ground when he doesn't get the ball right in his hands. He seems to be somewhat of a he's got a complainy vibe to him, but at the same time, he's fumbling the ball when we can't have a fumble, and he's not open. What is Anthony Miller's deal?
And it's funny because every time I actually talk to him in the locker room, he doesn't come off that way at all. You know, we talked to him last week, and I thought he was. You know, well thought out in his responses and confident and, you know, and then you get to the games and he's tweeting all kinds of stuff afterwards. And again, lack of focus there because, you know, they may have not have blocked that run for him, but you still can't fumble the ball, right?
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if he's always lining up properly. The route that Matt Nagy talked about where he ran outside on the first one. The second one, he went inside because the corner took the outside away from him. You know, it kind of came off like he ran the wrong route. He didn't run the route that Mitch was expecting, I think is the most accurate way of putting that. I don't actually put that on Anthony Miller. I think he's doing what he can to get open, and he was open, and the quarterback needs to make the adjustment. But another guy who's inconsistent, lack of focus sometimes, and hasn't stepped up. I mean, that's another guy I thought was going to step up this year, and he hasn't done it.
We don't have enough time to get into the special teams because we can go. I mean, probably the play of the game is Pat O'Donnell knocking the ball out of the end zone. But I mean, Patterson had a great game with finally with a return. But man, oh man, they are inconsistent in their coverage. It's ridiculous. They're lucky that they didn't get that touchdown at the end of the half, which again goes into clock management and everything in between. We could spend another hour just on the sequences of watching the Bears bumble themselves at the end of the half. Chargers next week. They're coming with Melvin Gordon. They got other backups. They got a savvy quarterback and a primetime receiver. Well, I mean, it's going to be the same recipe. I mean, they're going to do the same thing the Saints and the Raiders did.
And they're 2-5 somehow.
yeah, I know.
I mean, they're not a great team, but yeah, you mentioned off you know some of the names they have on their team. There's still plenty of firepower there. And here's the problem. With the Bears' offense as bad as it is, it doesn't really matter who they play. And you can go through the schedule. They've actually gone through – the Bears have been through the easy part of their schedule. And if you go back and look at it, they probably should have lost to the Broncos, right? They got an easy win over the Redskins. Then they had their most impressive game of the season against the Vikings, no question about it. But then they lose to the Raiders, yeah. And they lose to a – they get blown out by a depleted Saints team. So – I think any team right now, the Chargers may be coming in at 2-5, but you got to take every team seriously. I think the Bears are going to be heavy favorites here, but if you can't move the ball, if you can't score the ball, the point, it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, the first blowout in Matt Nagy's tenure was terrible at Soldier Field.
It was.
Adam Hogue, Monday evening quarterback, every Monday after the game. Great to talk with you, buddy, and check out all of his stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Justin.
All right. I don't even know what to say.